Hare Krishna. So we welcome you to the continuation of the celebration of the advent of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared at the time of moonrise on the Phalgun Purnima, which we now celebrate as Gaur Purnima. And the following day is observed as Jagannath Mishra's festival. Jagannath Mishra was the devotee who played the part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, and he was a prominent Brahmin in the community, and when the news spread that his wife Sachi Mata had given birth to a child, so many friends and neighbors came to join him in celebration. But some few could understand that Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata's son was not an ordinary child, but was actually Krishna himself. And therefore many demigods came to offer respects to the baby. But they came in disguise as members of the Brahmin community. But before we begin reading about Jagannath Mishra's festival, we will sing one song in appreciation of the great mercy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to bestow upon all living entities. This song is written by Lochan Das Thakur. Srila Prabhupada said he was almost a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya, and according to one version, he was about 12 or 14 years old when Lord Chaitanya wound up his manifest pastimes on earth. So we will sing this nice song. Shishi Gaura Nityananda Daya, the mercy of Shri Gaura and Nityananda. Parama Karuna Bhujana Yeah.
Thank you.
Nander Daya by Lochan Das Thakur. Translation. Lord Nitai and Lord Gaurachandra are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that they introduced a process of chanting and dancing that is simply joyful. My dear brothers, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. Become absorbed in worshipping Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda and simply chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare,
without any material motive. My dear brothers, just try to examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda. Their merciful qualities are so great that upon hearing them, even birds and beasts cry and stones melt. But I, Lochan Das, regret that I am entrapped by sense gratification. I have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And therefore, Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. Hare Krishna. Now, Srila Prabhupada gives a very beautiful purport to this song, but for the sake of time, I will not read it or discuss it now. But if you get a chance, you should read it. Once His Holiness Narayan Swami and I together gave a class just on this song. It is so deep and full of meaning. But I will just read one part of the purport, which struck both of us. Deko ore bai, tribhuvane nai. Lochan Das Thakur says, my dear brother, you just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry, what to speak of human beings. Srila Prabhupada continues, actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jharikhanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join. What to speak of human beings? Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. Ashana means stone. It is so nice that even stone will melt. Now, the reason this particular statement struck us so much is that although Srila Prabhupada said that no ordinary man can induce animals to chant, but when Srila Prabhupada came to America, he did induce something comparable to wild animals to chant and dance. And in Srila Prabhupada's diary and some of his early letters, he more or less acknowledges the fact that the people he was dealing with were quite similar to animals. So what Srila Prabhupada did is extraordinary. Practically only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could do it. But Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of Gaur Nithai, he also did it. So now we will read about the advent of Lord Chaitanya from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 13, entitled The Advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, gives a description of the ancestors of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi mantra. When the Lord appears in a particular family, it is not an ordinary family, but it is a very exalted family who has the opportunity to participate directly in the Lord's pastimes. So before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagannath Mishra and Satyadevi had another son named Vishwaroop. But from the perspective of the family, unfortunately, Vishwaroop took sannyas and left home. So that, of course, Jagannath Mishra and Satyamata are completely transcendental, but still they have that attachment, transcendental attachment, for Vishwaroop. And they wanted him to stay with them. But he took sannyas and left home. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting his Maha Prakash, exhibiting himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and fulfilling the desires of all of his devotees, he refused to give his mercy to his mother, Satyamata. And everyone was astonished that he's giving mercy to everyone except his own mother. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that she is an offender, and therefore I will not give her mercy. So what offense that Satyamata has committed? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the omniscient Lord, knew that within her heart, Satyamata harbored some bad feelings towards Advaita Acharya. Because Advaita Acharya would recite Srimad Bhagavatam, and Vishwaroop would hear his discourses. And Satyamata thought that Advaita Acharya was responsible for influencing her son, Vishwaroop, to leave home and take sannyas. And because of that offense, that in a way you could say subtle offense, it was not expressed in words, but it was kept within her mind. Because of that subtle offense, Lord Chaitanya refused to give her mercy until she rectified her offense and approached the Advaita Acharya begged forgiveness. So, in a way, you could say that Jagannath Mishra and Satyamata were without a son. Just like Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda Mai, they were quite old. They had no issues. They were quite old. And then finally, Mother Yashoda gave birth. So the intensity of affection of the parents was increased because they had to wait for so long to have a child, and they were not sure if they would be able to have one. Now, similarly, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Matas were also bereft, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. And just before his appearance, Sachi Mata told her husband, reading from text 83, "I see wonderfully brilliant human beings appearing in outer space as if offering prayers." Srila Prabhupada's purport. Jagannath Mishra was honored by everyone on the earth and was supplied with all necessities. Similarly, Mother Sachi saw many demigods in outer space offering prayers to her because of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence in her womb. We find the same phenomenon took place when Krishna was in the womb of Devaki. The demigods came and offered prayers to Krishna within the womb. So there are many similarities between Gaura Leela and Krishna Leela. But the context is a little different. Because most of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and most of his associates took birth in Brahmin families. Whereas in Vraja, Gokul, most Krishna appeared in a cowherd community, Vaishya community, and most of his associates were Vaishyas. And later, as was the custom, after Gaurahari appeared, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, an astrologer came to do his horoscope. And he told Jagannath Mishra that in his past life, your son performed the pious activity of protecting cows. And because of his pious activity of caring for cows, in this life he has taken birth as a Brahmin. So Sachi Mata told her husband what she would see, wonderfully brilliant human beings in outer space offering prayers. Jagannath Mishra replied, "In a dream, I saw the effulgent abode of the Lord enter my heart. From my heart, it entered your heart. I therefore understand that a great personality will soon take birth." So this phenomenon also runs parallel to the appearance of Krishna. He first entered the spotlessly pure mind or heart of Vasudeva. Which was Shuddha Sattva, that means completely transcendental, pure goodness, beyond even material goodness. And from the mind of Vasudeva, Krishna was transferred to the mind of Devaki. And then she appeared to become pregnant, but it was nothing like the material process by which an ordinary person is born. But it was actually the Lord's mercy that he appeared in the mind of Vasudeva, which was completely transferred, transcendental, and then transferred by him into the mind of Devaki. And Jagannath Mishra had a similar perception. After this conversation, both husband and wife were very jubilant, and together they rendered service to the household Shalagram Shila. In this way, the pregnancy approached its 13th month. But still, there was no sign of the delivery of the child. Thus, Jagannath Mishra became greatly apprehensive. Generally, a child stays in the womb for 9 months, maybe 10 months, but after 13 months, there was no sign of the delivery of the child. And Jagannath Mishra became very apprehensive, very worried. Nilambar Chakrabarti, the grandfather of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then did an astrological calculation and said that in that very month, taking advantage of an auspicious moment, the child would take birth. Thus, in the year 1407 of the Shaka era, A.D. 1486, in the month of Phaguna, February, March, in the evening of the full moon day, the desired auspicious moment arrived. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary, has presented the horoscope of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord chooses a time which is very auspicious according to astrological calculation to appear. But that is not always the case with pure devotees. Of course, a pure devotee who descends from the spiritual world could take birth in a similar way in an exalted family with all favorable circumstances. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if that were the case, then ordinary people would think, oh, he took birth in an exalted family, he had all the favorable conditions, and therefore he could become Krishna conscious. But I'm born in an ordinary family. I never had any special cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So what hope is there for me? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that devotees take birth in all kinds of families to show that anyone can be Krishna conscious in any background. Like Haridas Thakur, Lord Brahma, he took birth in a Muslim family to show that anyone can become Krishna conscious from any background. And Haridas Thakur was tortured, but he tolerated it all, and he continued in his service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the holy name. So, as you know, at the time of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, there was a full lunar eclipse. And the tradition in Vedic culture is that during an eclipse, one should go to take bath in some sacred body of water. The eclipse is actually considered inauspicious. And so to protect oneself from the inauspiciousness, one takes bath in a holy body of water and chants the holy name. And thus when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, there was profuse chanting of the holy name. Even by Muslims. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, when the spotless moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became visible, what would be the need for a moon full of black marks on its body? You understand what he's saying? Considering this, Rahu, the black planet, covered the full moon, and immediately vibrations of Krishna, Krishna, Hari inundated the three worlds. All people thus chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra during the lunar eclipse, and their minds were struck with wonder. When the whole world was thus chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in the form of Gaurahari, presented himself on earth. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was to propagate the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And he arranged to appear at the time of the lunar eclipse when people were chanting the holy name. And even in his childhood, he would induce people to chant the holy name. Even before he could speak, he could cry. Every baby knows how to cry. And the parents and elder relatives naturally want to pacify the baby, find out what's wrong, what they can do so that the baby will stop crying. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried as a baby, nothing could stop his crying, except for one thing, the chanting of the holy names. So eventually all the family members and friends understood the trick that when the baby Imai is crying, the way to pacify him and make him stop is to chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
when all the ladies, this was at the time of his advent,
yes, sir.
When the whole world was thus chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna in the form of Gaurahari invented himself on earth. The whole world was pleased. While the Hindus chanted the holy name of the Lord, the non-Hindus, especially the Muslims, jokingly imitated the words. So the Muslims also joined in the chanting by jokingly imitating to make fun. There's one incident, it's a bit of a digression, but it illustrates the value of chanting the holy name, even if in jest, to make fun. I have told this story once or twice, but I'll tell it again. In 1971, I was in Madras, the first group, small group of devotees from this time who went to Madras. And after some time, I started to hear a song being broadcast on the radio. Actually, there was no television in India now, and it was much better. Really. When we first came to Juhu, there was no television. And I would go door to door in the Juhu Villa Parla development. And generally, people would be very happy to welcome me and hear what I had to say, hear about Krishna consciousness. And then television came. It was a disaster. But it was a gradual process. It was new, so when I came, they would, because of the culture, they would turn off the television. And they still welcome me. But after a while, the addiction increased. And they would still invite me in, but they would keep the television going. And, you know, they would want to, again, out of culture, they would want to turn it off, but their children wouldn't let them. So then they would take me into, like, one of the back rooms to speak. And then, after some more time passed, even the elders got addicted. And anyway, so coming back to Madras, there was no television, but there was radio. And probably times have changed, but in those days, people would play their radios very loudly. It happened even when Srila Prabhupada was in Juhu. Sometimes someone somewhere would be playing their radio very loudly. And Srila Prabhupada said they want to advertise that they have a radio. They want all the neighbors to know they have a radio. So, the radios were broadcasting this song, Dum Maro Dum. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. And I was hearing it all the time. It seemed to have been a very popular song. So once I was at some friend's house, he had invited us for lunch, and I asked him, what is this song? And I don't know if he didn't really know what the song was or whether he was just being polite, but he said the meaning is, with every breath that I take, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. So that sounded, wow, that's so beautiful. With every breath that I take, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. Anyway, later I found out the truth, that it means with every puff, that every smoke that I take. So anyway, that created quite a sensation, and the film itself tried to portray, anyway. So from Madras I went to Calcutta, and before coming to India, in America there was a popular musical called Hair that had the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in it. And so devotees would go to theaters where the musical was playing, and they would do kirtan and distribute books, and people were receptive. So I had the idea, when this movie, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, came to Calcutta, it was playing in quite a prestigious theater. So I had the idea, okay, we'll go and we'll do Hare Rama in front of this theater and distribute books. And people were very friendly and favorable going into the movie house. And that's where we would catch them standing in line to go in. So after the last batch went in, I thought, let me see, what is this? So I snuck into the theater, and it was amazing. I mean, this huge screen, very amplified stereophonic sound. And as I recall, the first image was of the ocean, the waves of the ocean coming into the beach. And with this very resonant voice, the narrator says that for centuries, India's Vedic culture was kept within the shores of India. But then one man, and then it switched to an image of Srila Prabhupada, one man crossed the ocean and brought this culture to the Western world. And it actually had a map. It was very dramatic. It had a map, and then it showed an arrow, like the route that Srila Prabhupada took by ship from India to America. And then it showed the London Rath Yatra. And that was also amazing, this huge screen. And I thought, wow, this is fantastic. And then it switched to a scene of devotees doing kirtan in a home. Actually, it was right here in the Jews' Kings. I believe it was Manoj Kumar, but there were a number of movie producers and directors and actors and actresses nearby. And it was arranged because it's very hard to know, but they seemed to be very friendly and interested, and many of them became life members. But at this one house program, they filmed our kirtan Mother Lisa Prabhu was leading the kirtan. And then they used that in the Hare Ram Hare Krishna. And then it all switched and it showed like hippie boys and girls chanting Hare Ram Hare Krishna, smoking hashish, and then it was like, then I walked out. I could see what their strategy was. They were trying to project the idea that Srila Prabhupada took this to the West, and the people who accepted it were just hippies having, you know, free sex and drugs and chanting Hare Krishna. So it was a big blow in a way. It was a big blow. But Srila Prabhupada also did say that in the long run, the song will help us. Because eventually people will forget the Dhammara Dhamma, and they'll just remember the Hare Krishna Hare Ram. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It so happened, from Calcutta I came to Juhu, and whenever we would go out, all the little street urchins, the children, they would come up and really mock us. They'd go like this, dum-ma-da-dum, dum-ma-da-dum. Whenever we stop at an intersection, they'd all come up and even if we're walking on the sidewalk downtown, it was really quite hellish. But time passed, you know, after maybe six months or in the beginning it was mainly Dhammaragam. Then it sort of became equal, Dhammaragam and Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And then after another 6 or 8 months, the Dhammaragam dropped out completely. We almost never would hear that, and just Hare Krishna Hare Ram. So when Srila Prabhupada predicted, came to pass. So this mocking, like the Muslims mocking the Hindus, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it's actually good for them. They get spiritual benefit. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, even the Muslims or non-Hindus, they were also chanting along with the Hindus. While all the ladies vibrated the holy name of Hari on earth, and the heavenly planets, dancing and music were going on, for the demigods were very curious. In this atmosphere, all the 10 directions became jubilant, as did the waves of the rivers. Moreover, all beings, moving and non-moving, were overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. Thus, by his causeless mercy, the full moon, Gaurahari, rose in the district of Nadia, which is compared to Udayagiri, where the sun first becomes visible. His rising in the sky dissipated the darkness of sinful life, and thus the three worlds became joyful and chanted the holy name of the Lord. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
At that time, Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu, in his own house at Shantipur, was dancing in a pleasing mood. taking Haridas Thakur with him, he danced and loudly chanted Hare Krishna. But why they were dancing, no one could understand. Seeing the lunar eclipse and laughing, Advaitacharya and Haridas Thakur immediately went to the bank of the Ganges and bathed in the river in great jubilation. Taking advantage of the occasion of the lunar eclipse, Advaitacharya, by his mental strength, distributed various types of charity to the province. So this is how people in Vedic culture celebrate. They give in charity. We read in the Krishna book or Srimad Bhagavatam how for Krishna's birth ceremony, Nanda Maharaj gave in charity. So this is, there's a saying, it's better to give than to receive. But although people in the West say it, I don't know if they actually believe it. Because when they have a birthday, they want to get presents. It's a different culture. Instead of giving in charity, of course it could be there in some cases, but generally the idea is to get presents. But here, the devotees celebrated by giving in charity. And actually, spiritually, it is better to give without any expectation of return. In this way, all the devotees, wherever they were situated, in every city and every country, danced, performed sankirtan, and gave charity by mental strength on the plea of the lunar eclipse, their minds overwhelmed with joy. Dressing themselves as the wives of Brahmins, all the celestial ladies, including the wives of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnudev, King Indra, and Vashishta Rishi, along with Ramba, a dancing girl of heaven, all came there with varieties of gifts. In outer space, all the demigods, including the inhabitants of Gandharva Loka, Siddha Loka, and Charna Loka, offered their prayers and danced to the accompaniment of music, songs, and the beating of drums. Similarly, in Navadvip City, all the professional dancers, musicians, and blessers gathered together, dancing in great jubilation. So it's a long description, and we'll just wind up now because we have our time limits. But it's very interesting to note. So many people came bearing gifts to the home of Jagannath Mishra. And do you know what Jagannath Mishra did with all those gifts? He gave them away in charity. See? It's better to give than receive. Whatever riches Jagannath Mishra collected in the form of gifts and presentations, and whatever he had in his house, he didn't just distribute the gifts that he received, he distributed whatever else he had in the house. He distributed among the Brahmins, professional singers, dancers, bhattas, and the poor. He honored them all by giving them riches in charity. But of course, the greatest treasure is, what's the greatest treasure? Yes, the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
There's one story, and this will be the conclusion, that a devotee of Lord Shiva did some austerities, and Lord Shiva gave him the boon. He wanted the boon that he wanted the most valuable thing. Now, materialistic people think that the most valuable thing is money, gold. So Lord Shiva told him that if you go to Vrindavan, to Sanatana Goswami, he has the most valuable thing. In his conception, the most valuable thing was a touchstone, because it could turn anything into gold. So he approached Sanatana Goswami. He said, I heard you have the most valuable thing, touchstone. Oh yes, touchstone. Yeah, I think it's out in the back where the trash is kept. So he went out, he found the touchstone, and it was working. It was producing gold as he desired. But he was a little intelligent, and he thought, if Sanatana Goswami is keeping this in the bath with the trash, he must not consider it very valuable. He must have something more valuable. So he approached Sanatana Goswami and explained his logic. And Sanatana Goswami said, oh, you want that thing, the most valuable thing. All right, I can give it to you. But first you have to throw the touchstone in the Yamuna River. So now this created a crisis. He was in a dilemma. And there's a maxim, don't give up the sure for the unsure. So, but still he thought about it. He concluded, no, he has to have something more valuable, otherwise he wouldn't keep this out in the back with the trash. So he took a leap of faith. He went to the Yamuna and threw the touchstone in the river. And then Sanatana Goswami was prepared to give him the most valuable thing. So this illustrates what Lochan Das Thakur is saying. That the process that Lord Chaitanya gave of chanting and dancing is very easy and joyful, Kevala Ananda Kanda. And just by chanting and dancing, one can achieve all perfection, the highest perfection of love of God. But there is one condition, and the condition is that one should give up all motive of sense gratification. So when that devotee of Shiva gave up his prized possession and threw it in the river, then he could receive the holy name. So we have been given the opportunity to receive the holy name. But if we maintain material attachments in our hearts, we will not be able to accept the gift fully. To really accept the gift, we have to purge our heart or cleanse our heart of material attachments and motives. Then there will be room for the holy name. Otherwise, if our heart is crowded with all sorts of material attachments and ambitions, there won't be much room for the holy name. So this is our, this is what our acharyas are telling us. Of course, by chanting attentively, by making the effort to chant attentively, it does cleanse the heart, change our karma margin. But we have to want the heart to be cleansed. We have to be chanting with the desire for the holy name to enter and clean the dirty things. Otherwise, if you chant to get something material, it will take longer. I mean, it still helps, but it will take longer. I've heard, I don't know if it's true, but I have heard that at the time of exams, the students in India chant more. And certainly when there's other calamities, we chant. And that's okay. That's okay. But the perfection will come when we chant, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, jivana marana, in life or in death, in happiness or distress. We go on chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Tathagat Prabhu.
Sri Krishna, we can never repay the debt that we owe you for being one of the early preachers and followers of Sri Prabhupada. But anyway, I want to tell a little story about Sri Prabhupada, who is like our Sanatana, who gave us the holy name.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's a birthday story. You may have heard it, but I think maybe not too many devotees have heard it. It's a story told by Govinda Dasi, who was Srila Prabhupada's cook, and her husband was Srila Prabhupada's student. And this was when Prabhupada was living in America in the early days of the movement. And on Prabhupada's birthday, at that time there weren't elaborate Vyasa Puja ceremonies because the movement was just getting started. So to observe Srila Prabhupada's birthday, Govinda Dasi said that she thought it would be a good idea to bake Srila Prabhupada cake, because in the West, now probably in India too, get cakes. So she baked the cake for Prabhupada, and her sister in America was that the cake was decorated with candles, little candles, birthday candles. Often the number of candles equaled the number of the age of the person whose birthday. Of course, Prabhupada was 70 something, so she couldn't put so many candles, but she put some. And after Prabhupada ate lunch, she lit the candles and she brought the cake from the kitchen into the place where Prabhupada was eating. Prabhupada saw her carrying the cake with candles and said, what's this? So she said, Srila Prabhupada, this is how we observe birthdays in America. And she said, down. And she said, if you make a wish and you blow out the candles, your wish will come true. So Shilpa said, my only wish is for Krishna and Krishna's devotional service. And then he blew out the candles. And Govindadasa said, Prabhupada, you blew out all the candles. Yes, Prabhupada said, yes, I did believe it.
Wonderful. So I think we'll end now, and we will continue the eternal festival of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.